Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 1438, and I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host here at Radio Free Readout. Thank you so much for joining us, God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots, redoubters, preppers, partisans. It is so good to have all of you with us, and we've got several things we're going to cover tonight, and very excited. We're going to have Pastor Hadian on the line here very shortly, and many things to talk about. And several announcements, big things happening, and we're very excited. We're going to talk about some training opportunities that are coming up in the month of October. And my goodness, I can't believe, where did September go? I blinked and it's over. It's fall. I love the fall. Started firing up the wood-burning stove a little bit in the evenings just to take the chill off, and it's starting to smell and feel like fall. I love it. It's great stuff. And it's really great because it's been a good summer, but we've got a lot of stuff coming up this fall. And the momentum is continuing to build and continuing to grow among the patriots, those that are strategically relocating to safe havens and taking refuge in the redoubts across the United States, and mainly the American redoubt. Talking to several patriots that are relocating, just arriving in the American redoubt in various different places, and settling in for the storm that's coming to the United States. What that might look like, we don't know exactly. Could it be a collapse of our economic system, political system, social system? Of course, it already is collapsing, and we are already seeing the end of America. And right now, it's just an empty shell of what used to be America and what our founders envisioned and dreamed of, and what just a generation or two before us thought they still had. And it was snatched right out from under our noses. And I'm furious because I didn't have any say in it. But what I am having a say in is restoring Americanism, even if only regionally. So that's what we're here to talk about, among several issues of the day. And there's a lot of stuff going on throughout the day. I had a special treat last night. I got to meet an acquaintance and someone who I've been collaborating with on the American Redoubt concept. And I would say this is, shifting. When do you call a person an acquaintance or someone you know versus a friend? Some people, they use the term loosely when they say friend. This is my friend, so-and-so, and they're not really your friend. But I got to spend some time with Alex Barron from the Charles Carroll Society last night, and they have a weekly podcast. This really oriented toward the Catholic patriots. Of course, named after Charles Carroll, the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. And so that's just that spirit of the founders. He's really sharp. He knows IT stuff, computer security and things like that. So we've kind of consulted back and forth and bounced ideas off each other, but had never met face to face. And there was a great Patriot event this weekend. I was not able to attend, but in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, there was a Patriot event with Chris Ann Hall, Representative Matt Shea, many others. And so last night, we met at a little coffee shop, and we burned about 2 to 2.5 hours, and it went so fast. But I just really appreciate his heart and his analysis for where things are going. And we don't see eye to eye on everything as far as how things might play out. But of course, neither one of us are locked in solid. I believe that there's no way mathematically that there cannot be a collapse. And of course, he agrees with that, but the timelines are a little bit different. Obviously, we're not prophets. We don't pretend to put dates or on things, but we know the season. We know that things are accelerating. We know also, I've heard several people say lately, this system won't collapse because they won't let it, because they're already getting the left-wing agenda. So they don't need to collapse this system. This left-wing agenda is already taking hold without them having to collapse it and usher in globalism. We're getting it anyway. But I'll tell you what, there is a tipping point, though, historically speaking, when these very patient communists very systematically, very strategically, and very patiently implement their plan and infiltrate institutions. But there always comes a time when they finally say, okay, I'm getting impatient. Let's kick this thing off. It's not happening fast enough. I really believe that things are accelerating politically, socially. We've got, from a Christian perspective, there's definitely spiritual warfare at play. There's very definitely demonic forces that are influencing things. And I also believe that once things start, what I've gleaned from history is that even though things build up slowly over a time, it comes a point where once it boils over, it goes fast. Everything comes down fast. Look at the countries that we've seen regime changes in. Protests that kind of come out of nowhere, and for weeks or even a couple months, they'll protest and push back and forth in the streets, and then all of a sudden, boom, like in almost overnight, you have a new system in place. And that's not happening right now in America, but you never know what the headlines are going to be in a month from now or 3 months from now or 6 months from now and how quickly things can happen. And this country is ripe for some type of event, a catalyst to push us, finally give us that push past, what we've been moving, this slow moving toward, but we're moving faster. We're picking up momentum toward this anti-American agenda. And it's also like blowing up a balloon. I mean, you can only do that so long, and eventually something's going to pop. So I think that the timeline is a little closer than what Alex thinks. He's got some pretty sharp folks that he consults with. They're on a projection for 30 years. I personally don't think we have that long, but they might be right, or I might be right, and it doesn't matter. So here's the thing. Prepare to become self-reliant in case something happens tomorrow. Be prepared for it. And then if we have 30 years, well, that's great, because a lot of things can happen in 30 years. I don't think we have that much time. Now, maybe economically, if they could continue to play their card games and smoke and mirrors, they could drag this out for a considerable amount of time. I just think that some type of outside influencing factors are going to come into play and kick that up a little sooner. But we have the same objectives. We want liberty. We want freedom among a moral people. And we want to push tyranny back. And we want to be surrounded by people who share the same values as us. And that's the goal. And also to prepare as a last resort, as a fallback position. Everything comes down sooner rather than later. To hopefully have the demographic numbers in place that we can have a solid say in what a new system might look like, even if just regionally. That's what this is all about. The region of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and eastern portions of Washington and Oregon. That's the American Redoubt. So here we are talking about all this stuff. And what do we want to talk about? I want to talk about a couple of things here. Let's get into the news. What do you say? Let's do news and commentary. And segment one, I'll just make it short because I'm going to spend a little bit of extra time in segment two talking about some of this Islamic Muslim threat and some things that I've been kind of talking about for the last couple of weeks, because it's in our face. And it's the elephant in the room that we need to not pretend isn't there. So let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, which are coming out one by one, week by week on audio. So you can enjoy those and those series. And I haven't talked to Glenn in a while, but he's just almost as busy as me. So it's kind of one of those things where we don't talk to each other for, you know, weeks on end. And then all of a sudden we'll get all caught up in an hour long conversation. It's hard to get away from each other once we get started. But it's kind of like that with Pastor Haiti. And once we get started, my goodness, you better have some time set aside when the phone rings. You look at your caller ID and you see that it's Pastor Hadian. And we're going to have him on tonight, too. We're going to talk about some things that are kind of exciting for them and for the Patriots in the Spokane and Kootenai County area in North Idaho. So let's see. Okay, news and commentary with, right off the bat, Obama says in a 60 Minutes interview, we underestimated the rise of ISIS. No. We didn't underestimate the rise of ISIS. You, who called them junior varsity, okay, you underestimated them. Your advisors and your analysts are telling you, sir, we need to pay attention to this. Oh, we're not going to give them 1 ounce of credit. We're going to play them down, and we're not afraid of them. We're not intimidated. And so they're a bunch of JV. They're junior varsity. Well, guess what? We did underestimate the rise of ISIS, didn't we? Or is that just the excuse that you need to start getting more military forces over there? No, you did underestimate them, and you are using it as an excuse to get our military further engaged in another quagmire. Let's see here. What else happened? Hey, you guys, if you recall, last week I talked about this forcible withdrawal of, you know, blood from DUI checkpoints. Now, there's two different things going on here, not to be mixed together. On one hand, there are checkpoints, DUI checkpoints, where they are stopping motorists without probable cause or even reasonable suspicion and checking for DUIs, seeing if anybody's been drinking. Okay, so warrantless, unconstitutional search and stop. Okay, so then the other side to this is, the other argument to this, and these kind of got blurred together in this one story last week, because the other side of that is warrantless blood. No, not warrantless. Blood, taking blood to test for the blood alcohol content if you refuse to blow into a breathalyzer. Okay, so they could have total probable cause. You could be speeding, you're swerving across the line, almost hit another car. Okay, so they pull you over. Now, have you been drinking? No, well, just one beer, just two beers. Okay, because that's what they always say. Oh, just two beers. Okay, well, step out of the car. I need to, your slurred speech, everything else, nystagmus gaze is like bouncing like a ping pong ball. So what I want you to do is blow into this. No, I'm not going to. Well, then we're going to get a search and draw your blood. Well, this was happening without a warrant. Now, some states require a warrant, but they have a judge on call. So they just call up the judge. Sorry to wake you up, judge. We've got a guy that says he won't blow into the, he won't take the breathalyzer. Okay. All right. And so he faxes over a warrant. So they strap you down and they take blood. Well, in Idaho, they're challenging this warrantless blood draw. On August 20th, the Idaho Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the state of Idaho versus Micah Abraham Wolf. And in the Wolf case, it involves the admissibility of evidence obtained via a warrantless blood draw after Wolf was taken into custody under suspicion of driving under the influence, and blood draws in Missouri. And let's see, there were some blood draws in Missouri versus McNeely. This was a case where the court held that the natural metabolism of alcohol in the bloodstream does not constitute exigency. In other words, when at the time we stopped him, he had a he had a certain blood alcohol content. The longer we wait, the more diluted that will become, and then we could lose the case. So we are stopped. We want to get an accurate take on what his blood alcohol content was at the time we first put our hands on him. All right. The longer we wait, waiting for a warrant, well, the lower his blood alcohol content could get, and then we got to let him go because it could fall below, you know, the legal limit. But anyway, in Idaho, they're challenging this. And what they're saying is that, well, let me just read it to you. Because this is what I did is I just, it's all got jumbled together here. So one second. Anyway, they're citing this other case over from Missouri. And they're saying that the McNeely case in Missouri, to find that warrantless blood draws are not always permitted under Idaho's implied consent statute. Prior to McNeely, Idaho case law relied upon both the exigent circumstances and the implied consent justification for warrantless blood draws. So they're saying we don't need a warrant because when you got your driver's license, you gave us your consent. And this is what I had an issue with last week when I was talking about this. You get a driver's license. They will not give you a driver's license until you sign on the dotted line. You sign on the dotted line, you're also agreeing to a search without a warrant of your blood alcohol content, including by drawing blood physically, invasively, using a needle to draw blood from you. So you're agreeing to waive your constitutional rights for something you may or may not do years down the road. I got a problem with that. And actually, that's the direction that this is actually going. So I'm good. So other people are keying in on this. Wolf raises the question as to whether implied consent alone is a sufficient justification, especially where there is explicit denial of consent at the time of the traffic stop. Now, the state's argument is therefore premised on the implied consent, while Wolf's position, or his attorney, is that implied consent is an unconstitutional condition that requires waiver of unconstitutional rights simply for utilizing public roads. And that's it right there. This is a dangerous trend because if they uphold this, they can use this case law in future cases involving other things, not just driving. Okay, so like in Canada, they're talking about banning Bibles that have anything about homosexuality in it, right? So what's going to happen in the future when this so-called human rights agenda keeps moving forward and you must have a state approved Bible? So when you purchase a Bible, you have the right to buy this Bible as long as you consent to us coming to your home and searching it periodically to make sure you didn't add any of this other prohibited content, hate speech into it, right? Or actually, if you purchase a firearm, you must agree to consent to a search so they can come to your home, take your firearm to a laboratory for a week or 2 weeks or whatever to examine it to make sure you haven't converted it to full auto. That'd be the same thing. Now, some people might argue, well, not necessarily the same thing. It's having a gun is a constitutional right, but having a driver's license is not a constitutional right. Well, first of all, says who? I mean, it's not written in the Constitution, but the founders even said these 10 Bill of Rights, okay, by no means are rights given by God complete. This does not make a complete, conclusive list of the rights that we have under God. These are just the ones that we, because of expediency, because of time, we needed to hurry up and get this done. And secondly, as liberty-minded Christians who just fought off the king and fought off tyranny for freedom, we all get it. We know we have certain freedoms that just are innate in us. We don't need to write them all down, but we definitely want to make sure these first 10 are written down. Okay, so we have a lot of other God-given rights, the right to freely travel. If you're paying for the road through your taxes, why do you not have the right to travel on them? Getting a driver's license and all that kind of stuff and requiring that, that's totally, that's a separate issue. But here's the thing. People are saying you don't have a constitutional right to drive on the roads and get a driver's license. So you don't have to sign that document, giving away your other constitutional rights to get that document. See, here's the thing. Constitutional rights do not go away because you're engaged in an activity that's not enumerated in the Constitution. Just because it's not your constitutional right to drive doesn't mean that all of your constitutional rights go away. Having a cup of coffee with a friend at a coffee shop is not in the Constitution. You have a right to do that, but you don't have a God-given constitutional right to do that. It doesn't say there. Okay. All right, let's say you're right. So I'm having a cup of coffee with a friend at a coffee shop. That's not a constitutional right. Okay. But I also have the right under the Fourth Amendment not to have police come into the coffee shop and start digging through my bags or a woman's purse against her consent, because having a cup of coffee is not your constitutional right. So we can violate your other constitutional rights because this thing here isn't a constitutional right. You see the mindset, see the mentality, stuff that's going on here. It is important to keep in mind, however, that this is not a situation where the only options are to conduct a warrantless blood draw or let the suspect go. Like, that's not the only two options. If there is probable cause to detain the subject for the blood draw, then there should be sufficient probable cause to obtain a warrant for the blood draw. Bingo. All right. A warrant is a justification. That's a fancy word for justification from a judge. Okay. If you've got probable cause to draw blood, then get a warrant. And now with fax machines, they can fax them over, right? And which they're doing in some states. But the problem that I have with those areas that we were talking about last week, they got the fax machine, they get a warrant. Okay. Fair, legal eagle. All right. If you got probable cause to believe a crime is being committed, you can get a warrant to secure evidence of that crime. I get that part. But when you stop people on the highway without probable cause or reasonable suspicion, then that's a violation of the Constitution right there. So you do the right thing by getting a warrant so you're legal, but you do something illegal by stopping them in the first place without probable cause. So anyway, this is just seesaw battle going back and forth. But we have to keep up the fight for what little constitutional rights we still have. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Fox 519. But first, there's a big event coming up. Big event. Huge. Going Rogue. Gain the power to be free. Going Rogue 2014. We're going to put banners up for that. That's going to be in November 14th through the 16th in Dallas, Texas. Grapevine, to be specific. But basically, that's in Dallas, Texas in November. And this is a very exciting thing for me because I was approached by the organizers of this and they asked me to MC the event and to put on some workshops. So I will be talking about workshops, probably talking about, committees and then also I'll be putting on communications workshops to talk about basically communications networking and all stuff communication. So all the details are still being worked out, but I'm definitely down for emceeing the event, which is kind of cool. The Going Rogue event enables freedom lovers and independent thinkers, rogues, to explore the ideas, knowledge, and alternatives needed to achieve peace of mind and a secure, sustainable lifestyle. So it's not just necessarily a prepper type of event. It is really a self-reliance. There's people, the experts there, shifting wealth and doing all kinds of stuff that's, over my head. I'm going to stay in my lane on this. But Wayne Allen Root is one of the keynote speakers. He's known as the capitalist evangelist. Paul Rosenberg, Jim Rawls, and of course he'll be there by teleconference. Kirk Elliott, PhD, doctor. He's an author. He's an economist, political and economical social commentator and documentary producer. Marjorie Wildcraft. She's the Martha Stewart of self-reliance and gardening, grow your own garden. Met her a couple weeks ago. Great lady. And she's going to be there. Newt Anderson from Swiss Metal. Dr. Joe or Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy and David Every, Kevin Drost, Melissa Norris, Tammy Traer, Sam Culper from Guerrilla America will be there talking about the intelligence process and analytics or analysis of intelligence. Lots of stuff. You can guys, we're going to post all this stuff for you guys, but you can go there, goingrogue2014.com, see the lineup of speakers. They're going to be adding some more to those and workshops and updating that website as we go. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun, about 6 weeks out. Okay, Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. Stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Readout, finishing out segment one.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And boy, does this apply to this week's news. The lies are boundless and nothing is what it seems anymore in the financial markets. This has been a great week for finance news, and there has been several large important stories that have hit that said news. We saw Russia and Kazakhstan make a huge gold order. Walmart has decided to enter into the banking world officially, and Goldman Sachs gets their hands caught in the Fed cookie jar. This is Sunday, September 28, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back, and this week's Eye on the Economy has two new sponsors, the Prepper Recon Store and Mark Goodwin, author of The American Reset Chronicles. I would like to take a moment to thank them both for their support of Radio Free Readout and Eye on the Economy. Stop by the Prepper Recon Supply Store for a great selection of mole compression kits, hydration kits, and concealed carry tactical slings. Packs and slings are available in several tacti-cool colors and camo patterns, with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. Choose from the Moulin Labe, Come and Take It patch, the Sheepdog, or even the matching U.S. flag patches. Also check out the great selection of Mole-compatible individual first aid kits, which feature an IBD, chest seal, quick clot, NPA tourniquet, EMT shears, and tons of extras. Go to theprepperrecon.com and click on the store tab on the top of the homepage. And now on to the news. Russia is back in the news this week and is showing signs they are not letting up on their physical gold purchases. In a report by the IMF this week, it showed that Russia has again added to its gold reserves in August, bringing its total to 1,112.5 metric tons of gold. Likewise, the National Bank of Kazakhstan also purchased an additional 24.7 tons of gold, bringing its national gold reserves to 181.9 tons. Turkey also bought gold, as well, and the Turkish bank added an additional 3 tons, bringing its gold reserves to 511.6 tons, giving it the 12th largest official gold holding in the world. According to the IMF data, other countries which added to its gold reserves in August included the central banks of Azerbaijan and the Ukraine. With the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine, it's not clear where the official Ukrainian gold is now stored. There had been reports in March that the Ukrainian gold has flown out of the country into the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, but neither the central bank would comment on the issue this time. My guess, it's probably not even there anymore. We probably already promised it out through rehypothecation. Now, this just goes to show you again with everyone in the world is now clamoring for physical gold as wealth. Now, the paper currency is now beginning its own death spiral around the globe. Remember last week I pointed out that the physical gold delivery was up by 243% from the same period last year. The end of paper currency is coming, which brings about the question, what steps are you taking to make sure that you have real currency of your own when the stuff hits the fan? In other world news tonight, get ready for the wall bank. Well, the nation's largest retailer announced Wednesday that it had teamed up with the Green Dot Corp, a company known for its reloadable prepaid debit cards, to bring a mobile checking account to its shoppers, and as an added bonus, the accounts won't charge overdraft or bounce check fees. It's the latest attempt by banking services that cater to cash-strapped Americans struggling in the, quote, economic recovery. Bank of America and Citibank both lost checking accounts last year that don't charge any overdraft fees, but can normally cost up to about $35 per transaction. That's over a $6 overdraft. This move comes as overdraft fees, which occur when a customer doesn't have enough cash in their account to cover purchases, have come under increased scrutiny by regulators in the past few years. Now, I have to say that upon hearing this, there were those in the banking world this last Wednesday who were pretty concerned that Walmart's move would have a huge impact on their bottom line and cause serious impact to those banks and their revenue positions. Now, my thoughts on it? We're in a free market, aren't we? Capitalism mandates competition. However, Walmart is a mega monstrosity that kills small family businesses. And I don't like Walmart. This move by Walmart will cause mega waves in the banking industry, but for now, it's just a wait-and-see game. Who knows? Maybe banks will stop being greedy and decide that they don't want to charge for overdraft fees and get competitive. Nah, who am I kidding? They'll never do that. Now, finally tonight, Goldman Sachs and the Fed are attracting some very unwanted attention and have immediately made changes to their policy due to a huge audio release. The leak has come from one Miss Carmen Segarra. Miss Segarra was recently terminated from the Federal Reserve Bank in New York and took 46 hours of recordings of meetings between the Fed and Goldman Sachs. The secretly recorded tapes are apparently damaging enough that it's being called the Ray Rice video of the financial sector. Ms. Segarra, who was recently assigned to regulate Goldman Sachs, has reportedly provided all the recordings to This American Life. Why she would provide it to that liberal institution, I don't know. There are better outlets. How about Radio Free Readout, for example? Now, she is all the audio is going to be aired on This American Life, and the Fed appears to be very afraid of Goldman Sachs throughout the recordings. She was allegedly fired after 7 months of working for the Fed over taking a stand over a report on the bank's handling of conflicts of interest. Segarra is suing the New York Fed over her termination, and at one point, the recordings of Ms. Segarra's boss, Mr. Mike Silva, even go as far to talk about a deal between Goldman and a Spanish bank that they completed without ever involving the Fed's permission, and they were never ever fined for it. Now, along the lines of conflict of interest, Goldman Sachs Saturday produced a new policy that, effective immediately, all their investment bankers would no longer be allowed to purchase stocks, bonds, or mutual funds while working for Goldman Sachs. Something stinks here, and I believe that these tapes, as they surface, we will find out that the Fed has been letting all big banks that they regulate do whatever they want, and unchecked for that matter. This is a pivotal moment in the financial sector. We get a rare glimpse inside of a super-secret organization that's caused the American people great harm. I personally can't wait to read the 46 hours of taped conversations and see how the Fed has royally screwed us. Now, will this matter in the long run? Will the American people decide that enough is enough and they will end the Fed? No, probably not. But hey, at this point, Fox 519 will take whatever he can get when it comes to disarming the Fed on just about anything. Okay, with these three stories in mind, here's my advice for this evening. Last week, I told you about a good book by Charlie Hogwood called Mags, The People Part of Prepping. I want to tell you, this book isn't good. It's fantastic. This is one of the most complete guides to putting together and managing a team that I have ever seen. In fact, it's got practical application outside the prepping world as well. I want to continue my advice and tell you to get this book. Read it and use it as a method for improving your team. You've got to make sure your team is running like a smooth engine. It will go a long way to ensuring that when the stuff hits the fan, you won't have to worry about people's roles, goals, and how they react. Your lives are on the line here. Don't take any chances. As a special note, listen in Monday to the Prepper Recon podcast, as I've had the distinct and humble pleasure to speak with Mark once again on all things economic and how it affects us all. Also, stay tuned to this broadcast for a special word from our sponsor about the last book in the Collapse Chronicles by Mark Goodwin. Anyways, thanks for listening, and this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
In American Reset, the final chapter of the Economic Collapse Chronicles, the ultimate contest between liberty and tyranny reaches the apex. The Bear family and their neighbors learn the true value of community as they rely on each other to survive the war and the effects of the financial meltdown. Will the collapse bring an oppressive regime that enslaves the American people, or will the patriots prevail and guide the country back to a place of freedom, peace, and prosperity? Get your copy of American Reset in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
Thank you for that, Fox 519. Good job, as usual. And we are going into segment two, which is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping redoubters, patriots, and folks that just want to make a strategic relocation, move to the northern counties of North Idaho. You can learn more about how to do that, and they will walk you through the process. Great patriots. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, this week, you guys understand what's going on here with this Oklahoma beheading situation. I've been saying this as soon as ISIS came on the radar for me. I was kind of watched it for a while before I really talked about it much, but in my mind, I'm going, this is coming to America. Now, I'm not saying this guy who beheaded this woman in Oklahoma this week is ISIS, but what you're seeing is a radicalization and a shifting in the mindset of Muslims all over the place in the Western world. And of course, you know, there was a fatwa put out, a call from these ISIS guys for ISIS or Muslims to join the jihad and start killing, slaughtering, beheading, whatever, all across. Now, I'm not saying this is related, but there's a mentality there's driving people to action. It's very hostile. And we're going to start seeing more of it. This guy started going after a second woman and was stopped by someone who was armed. There was no reasoning. There was no reaching out. There was no understanding one another. There was only violence. That was the only solution. Unlike what Nancy Pelosi says, you know, violence is never the solution. That's not true. And if you really believe that, you wouldn't be approving of airstrikes over there. But that doesn't count because that's not military. Those are political solutions, right? Airstrikes. As long as you don't put boots on the ground, you're not using force and violence to exert your will on another group of people. It's only if you put boots on the ground, right? So as long as you do it from the air or from 30 or 40,000 feet, then that's still a political solution. Okay, I get it. All right. But hostile, violent, overwhelming use of force had to be employed by an armed American who happened to be there. Apparently he's an off-duty deputy or hired by the company for security or something like that. Probably because they have a no guns, no weapons policy in the workplace, right? So they have to hire an armed guard to come in and protect the people. I guess the guy that got fired didn't think that the no weapons policy in the workplace really applied to him anymore because, hey, I'm not an employee, so I guess I can bring my knife in here and cut her head off. Well, he's dead, as he should be, which is why I've been saying at this point in this time in this climate that we are living in, it doesn't have to be a Muslim. It doesn't have to be a jihadist. There's some whacked out people out there, and there's very powerful demonic influences. Doesn't matter what their background is or what their skin color is. When somebody is carrying out violence, you have a duty to defend yourself and your loved ones and those that are around you. And you have the right to defend other people, to protect, to save lives, to protect life. And that necessity is coming upon us as a culture. So anyway... At first, the Islamic Society of the Greater Oklahoma City had denied that beheader John Keen Yisrael Neen Alton Nolan attended a mosque or that they were familiar with him. When pictures emerged of Jaquim praying at the mosque, his Facebook page, their story radically changed. The media seamlessly reports the morphing narrative without question. Because why am I talking about this? The Oklahoma Beheaders Mosque in Oklahoma called for the destruction of U.S. and Israel and taught caliphate. So the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Mr. Nolan was a regular at the Friday service at the Masjid An-Nasr, a mosque in Oklahoma City, said Saad Mohammed, director of Islamic information at the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma, which operates it. He was usually quiet and kept to himself, said Mohammed, who only recently learned Mr. Nolan's name. He recalled interacting with Mr. Nolan just once when Mr. Nolan had placed the Quran on the floor and Mr. Mohammed asked him to pick it up. There was nothing about him that alarmed us at all. He added that he had heard Mr. Nolan converted to Islam in jail. There's never any alarm, especially if you're another Muslim, right? He was such a nice guy. That's what you always hear. The guy, the neighbors, you know, the next door neighbor, the killer. Oh, he was such a nice guy. He never really said much. There's no alarming activity to Prisons have become recruiting centers for jihadists, but clearly the mosque reinforced the hate and violence in Islamic texts and teachings. In the wake of the Oklahoma Jihad beheading, the leader of the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma wants security protection from the mythical Islamophobia. Mythical? People being concerned about the radicalization of Muslims and the increasing slaughter of anyone who isn't Muslim or the right kind of Muslim, it's a myth. Maybe we should drag his butt over to Africa and parts of where the Kurds are in Iraq. Maybe we should take him to Chechnya. Maybe we should take him to some of these other places where they're dismembering and raping and killing and slaughtering and beheading, and to see if he'll still say that it's a myth. The talk is all about an imaginary backlash that never happens. Thus, nonsense is a more stealth jihad, a device to silence any criticism of jihad. And that's Freedom Outpost talking there. So, yeah, very interesting. And did you guys hear also, there's at thegatewaypundit.com, they posted when the police were giving their press release, they were surrounded by a crowd of about 100 to 120 people. There were two or three people there that began opening their Qurans and reading their Qurans, and there were people saying praise to Allah, Allahu Akbar, in this crowd. As the police are giving the debrief or the press release from this woman being beheaded in Oklahoma. Yeah, it is disturbing. Apparently only about 30 or 40 of the 100 to 120 total who were there were Muslims. You guys remember earlier this month, too, there was another thing. On 9/11, considered to be one of the largest Catholic universities in the United States, Barry University, which is nestled in Miami Shores, Florida, hosted an interfaith memorial. That sends up red flags for me right there. To remember the victims of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. According to Laura Loomer, a senior at the university, the service began with an imam named Nasir Ahmad, leader of Liberty City's mosque, Masjid al-Ansar in Miami-Dade County, repeatedly chanting the ominous phrase Allah Akbar during his 10 to 15 minute address. He says, we have to be very careful with exporting democracy, and democracy should not be exported at the point of a gun. Well, democracy, is it not democracy if you have to do it at the point of a gun? Well, they say we're spreading democracy, but of course they've turned us into a democracy. They've destroyed the republic and turned it into a democracy, which is basically mob rule, which is pretty much what we have now. The phrase Allahu Akbar is Arabic for Allah is great. Now, Loomer said that she, as well as other students and other members of the community, were offended by Ahmad's use of the phrase during the service and felt insulted that on a day like 9/11, they would allow for a man of Muslim faith to open a service and chant Allah Akbar, the words that suicide bombers and terrorists chant before blowing themselves up. Good point. I'd feel a little uncomfortable, too, with that. Gave a speech. Now, this is a while back. This is, 2 years ago? Said, over the last year, and due to the focus of House Republicans on so-called Muslim radicalization, so it's so-called Muslim radicalization, we have seen politicians and pundits attacking the Islamic faith as a security threat to the United States, because we all know it's really not, you know, radical Islam's really not a threat. She said, across the country, these people are exploiting fear and trying to convince state legislators that the state adoption of Sharia tenets is the strategy extremists are using to transform the United States into an Islamic country. And she went on to say that it was bigoted if you were opposed to Sharia law. We're fear-mongering by saying that Sharia law is bad for America. So she proudly hails this H.R. 3618 called End the Racial Profiling Act legislation, requiring law enforcement to have policies to maintain maintain policies and training and implement and policies to eliminate profiling. She says it's irresponsible to target Muslim communities. And then she talked about and the racial profiling. Okay, Muslims is not a race. It is a religion, okay? We've got a religion where a significant and alarming portion of them have declared war on us because we are breathing. Because we have every right to take a closer look at them because we see the radicalization happening at these mosques. And Muslims are not a race. All right, there are all kinds of races that follow Islam. So she's saying, we shouldn't be profiling Muslims. Communities actively working with authorities. The Muslim community, she says, the Muslim communities are working with authorities. Recently, tips have thwarted two recent terror attacks. Tips from the Muslim community. The Muslim Public Affairs Council says tips from the Muslim community provided tips that where 7 of the last 11 terror plans were thwarted, and 40% of the attacks were foiled since 9/11 with the help of the Muslim community. Okay, so if 7 of the last terror attacks were thwarted because the Muslim community stepped forward, and 40% of the attacks since 9/11, then doesn't that tell you something? 7 of the last 11 terror attacks that were foiled came from the Muslim community. And actually, more of them did. Almost all of them did. Only 7 of the 11 were thwarted because of tips. Is this, you guys getting this? Another study from Duke University confirmed that 40% of the terror plots that have been foiled were foiled with the aid of the Muslim community. So now we can count on the Muslim community, because this is where the jihadis are coming out of, is the Muslim community, that because of their contribution, 40% of the terror plots have been foiled. But jihad in America is a myth. And anybody who has security concerns about this threat is a bigot or an Islamophobe. Well, I contend that these people are Christian phobes. And they're freedom and liberty phobes. They're American heritage phobes. She says that the law enforcement community values the relationship with the Muslim community for information. That's, I'll bet they do. I would value a relationship with the Muslim communities too. If 7 out of 11 terrorist attacks are thwarted because of intel, human sources gathered from the Muslim community. But don't profile. Okay, so here's the thing. Law enforcement, do not profile Muslims. Just value the relationship with them, and we're all good. Oh, man. What a song and dance. This is not new. This is not a new development. Let me take you back. In 732 AD, the Muslim army, which was moving on Paris, they're back, was defeated and turned back at Tours, France, by Charles Martel. In 1571 AD, the Muslim army and navy was defeated by the Italians and the Austrians as they tried to cross the Mediterranean Sea to attack southern Europe in the Battle of Lepanto. In 1683 AD, that's Anno Domini, free thinkers, right? The year of our Lord. The Turkish Muslim army attacking Eastern Europe was finally defeated in the Battle of Vienna by German and Polish Christian armies. If these battles had not been won, we might be speaking Arabic and Christianity could be non-existent. Well, I don't believe that, but would be threatened. Judaism certainly would be. And let us not forget that Hitler was an admirer of Islam and that the Mufti of Jerusalem was Hitler's guest in Berlin and raised Bosnian Muslim SS divisions, the 13th and the 21st Waffen SS divisions, who killed Jews, Russians, Gypsies, and any other subhumans. In 1783, when the British colonies that would become the United States of America gained independence from Great Britain, five Muslim countries of North Africa declared war on the newly independent country, hijacking and kidnapping merchant sailors and selling them for ransom or into slavery. When the United States of America was established, we were forced to pay extortion fees amounting to 20 to 25% of our federal budget to those Muslim countries to keep them from their hijacking and kidnapping. It took two administrations, Washington and Adams, to build a sufficient navy so that President Jefferson in 1805 could send the Navy and the Marines to conquer Tripoli to end the piracy. Islam has been at war with the USA since our founding. And now the president claims that he's going to, Islam is a vital part of our country and our rich heritage. But, of course, now he's claiming that they will use airstrikes to hit IS, Islamic State, anywhere in the world that they're found. And they're letting them come right across the border. So where you can start having airstrikes on U.S. soil. So IS was talked about this last week, officially declared as a terrorist organization. So now we can kill terrorists anywhere in the world, even on U.S. soil. So that means you can be given the death sentence and be executed without a trial, even without having been directly involved operationally at the time. You're a high-value target. You're traveling from point A to point B. We got you in the bead. We're going to pull the trigger. And we got the right because you're a terrorist. And, of course, we know how the Department of Homeland Security feels about a lot of you, homeschoolers, third-party candidates, fly don't tread on me flag, potential homeland domestic terror threats. They're setting the stage. So, Lord help us, huh? All right, hey guys, let's take a break. When we come back, Pastor Hadian, former Muslim, now born-again Christian, and he understands the satanic roots of that religion. He's on a campaign of bringing liberty to Americans. This guy's right out of the Black Robe Regiment. Amazing guy, great friend, and I look forward to talking to him in just a few minutes, and I hope you do too. So stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hello.
Pastor Hadian, John Jacob Schmidt here from Radio Free Readout. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I got a letter From Mrs. Hadian this week, asking me to talk about the new announcement for a church service coming up this week. And I thought it would be better if they just heard it from you directly. So thanks for being with us. And let's talk about what we got coming up this week. It's exciting.
Well, John Jacob, it's always good to be with you. It's back on the show again, and we are excited. You know, as you know, I have been pastoring a church in the Everett, Washington area for a number of years now, but, you know, God is stirring our hearts to come out to the Spokane Valley area, and we've been meeting there and preparing to start a new church out there that will be an extension of our church in Everett, which is going to be called Truth and Love Christian Fellowship. We're actually this coming Wednesday, we're going to be having our first service. They won't be our weekly service yet, but it's going to be our first service, and, folks are invited to come out, and it's going to be at 6:30 PM, at La Belle Vie, over on Applegate Way there in Spokane Valley, Washington. So we're hoping that people will come out and be able to check out the church and also understand that, this church is committed to be a Liberty Church. We're actually, our Everett location and the Spokane Valley location, will not, be under the 501c3. We believe that we must be under God's authority fully, especially in the days that we are in the days ahead. And so it's committed to being under Christ's authority, but also having pastors who are committed to preach and teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Nothing is off limit. If God's Word talks about it and the society is struggling with it, we're going to be addressing it, and we're going to be bringing the fullness of God's Word to the folks.
Outstanding. There is a hunger for that type of church. And my first question was, I was going to ask was, why should they go to your church? And there's so many to choose from. But you already answered those questions before I could even ask them. Of course, this listening audience is already very familiar with you. They know where you stand on the issues. They know that you are a pastor that appreciates that we have dual citizenship. We're citizens of heaven, but we're also supposed to be good stewards and rule while we're here. And people need to know how to do that and stand up to the challenges that we face today as a body of believers. So I just want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing. But this is a debut church service at a temporary location, but this will not be an ongoing thing quite yet. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a temporary location for time being, because once my wife and I physically are over in the Spokane area, which will be happening hopefully, prayerfully in the next 4 or 5 weeks, then we'll be actually meeting on a weekly basis. But this is our first. We've had a couple of already informational meetings, and we're now ready to have our first service, and we have a group of folks that are coming together out there. And so once we are physically over there, yes, we'll be announcing our location. For the time being, it is going to be at this location, La Belle Vie, and then as God leads, we will find the place, if not here, but somewhere in the valley there, because we do believe that we're going to probably draw some folks from Idaho, but also from Eastern Washington. And really, John Jacob, you know, like you said, we are citizens of both. We are to be salt and light here while we occupy until Christ returns. And so much of what has happened in our nation is because Christians in the church have not engaged the issues that are going on,
yeah.
Or pastors are so afraid of the repercussions of the 501c3.
Yeah,
or,
they're hamstrung.
You know, what is the government going to do to us? So we really believe that the time is here that God's people have to stand up and be faithful to His Word. And also, and I know you and I have talked about this before, I believe that greater persecution is coming to Christians. And so therefore, the church must be prepared. And a lot of pastors won't even talk about it, let alone know how to prepare their people. So
that's
what we're committed to do. Again, this Wednesday meeting will be our first worship time and teaching, but then we'll be announcing as we go when we get to our regular weekly services.
Okay, excellent. And we will also put that on our highlights and resources posting today with the directions to the La Belle Vie there on Appleway Boulevard in the Spokane Valley. That is just minutes away from the state line, literally 5 to 7 minutes into Washington from Idaho. So I know there's people on both sides there, and there are pastors that are stepping up to fill this need, where we need that Black Robe Regiment caliber of pastors today. For the season that we're in, they need to, you know, rise up to the time that we were made for. And so I just want to thank you so much for what you guys are doing. I know it's a huge leap of faith. You're moving. You see, you know, you're in occupied territory. You're relocating to the American Redoubt. And that many, many other people are as well. And this is what I get from people when they move here. They say, can you help us find a good church that teaches the stuff that we believe as Christians living in today's times? And I really don't. I know that there's a few directories out there. James Rawls over at Survival Blog, and Chuck Baldwin has a free church Black Robe listing of pastors, but we need to fill in a lot more of those blanks. And I know one of the hotbed areas for people relocating to it is North Idaho, specifically the Kootenai County area. People are coming from the west side of Washington State over to the east side, eastern Washington, and there unfortunately just are not a lot of free churches, liberty-minded churches with leadership that are the same caliber of men from the Black Robe Regiment that we saw in the founding times of our country. So it's very, very welcome, very encouraging. There's other news of other churches in the American Redoubt that are starting up with that same concept. So I just think it's just a blessing, and we're looking forward to having you over here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a blessing for us. And of course, personally, our family, we've been praying for a couple of years now, and we had felt that God was stirring us to physically make that move. But the timing is here, and I don't believe it's an accident. John Jacob, you and I have talked about this also, that, we know that God is stirring his people to prepare and to get ready for the days ahead. And of course, we do that physically, but we must also do that spiritually. God must be center to our lives. The grace of Christ, the throne of Christ, Jesus, is central to our lives, and he is going to be our deliverer through the days ahead. And so we're excited to see, like you said, that movement of other churches and other believers who are also sensing that call. And our body there, what we believe also is supposed to happen is that the Spokane location isn't just to be one location, but it is to be a hub where we want to support other believers. You know, I still have folks over in Everett, Washington that are connected to us. I'm going to be coming back and forth when I can. Yeah. We have other folks now that are connecting with us saying, yes, we're not seeing our churches in our area. So really, we believe that just like the early church, where the apostles were going and traveling and supporting other believers, that's what we believe is going to happen, John Jacob, in the days ahead, especially if we get greater persecution. We need to support each other, and what you're doing is also a part of that. So I thank you for getting this message out and being able to connect believers so that we can know how to communicate with each other and how to stand tall for God in the days ahead. So blessings to you guys, and look forward to seeing folks out there. And then we will have updates, by the way, once we go weekly, then maybe I can be back on the show again and we can announce that and let people know the specifics of where and when and all that kind of stuff.
We will absolutely do it. We'll be staying on top of it, and we look forward to seeing you guys Wednesday night. We have a little conflict. We are supposed to have another event Wednesday night, and I'm just torn. So I'm doing my level best to rearrange things, because it's just so important for us to be able to make the trip over there to support you guys and what you're doing, and just meet some of the folks over there and encourage them to continue to support you and everything that you're doing.
Amen. So, thank you very much. Thank you again, and great to be with you on the show. And blessings to all the listeners out there. And, this is the time that we have to draw close to God more than ever. And so I just want to encourage the listeners to that. And, let's stand, and let's stand for true liberty, true liberty, which is first in God, and then also for our nation. We have to keep fighting for true liberty in America.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Excellent. Okay, we'll keep everybody posted, folks. Pastor Hadian, you can join their debut church service Wednesday night, October 1st. And that's the Truth in Love Christian Fellowship, Spokane Valley at 6:30 p.m. We'll have instructions and directions there posted for you guys. So check them out, support them, and God bless you, Pastor Hady, and for everything that you do. We'll let you get going. I know you're a busy guy, and you've got some stuff lined up for this afternoon, so or this evening. So you just have a great night, and God bless, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you. You too. Lord bless you guys as well. Thank you so much, John Jacob.
All right. Bye now. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
And we're back with final segment, segment four, here at episode 1438 at Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot who wants to stand and be counted in the fight for liberty and Americanism. You can always email me with questions or suggestions at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And I'm finally at the point now where I cannot respond to every email. All as hard as I try, they are just rolling in and the avalanche continues. And I still have a mission to accomplish. I got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm not dissing you. I'm not blowing you off. I love you guys. I love all of you guys out there. I thank you so much for being out there. It's such a blessing. But man, I've got emails tagged for, I've got to email this guy back. And the problem when I do that is that it slips further and further because the emails just keep coming. And so I can't even just like put a pause button on it. So, anyway, before you start asking, you know, stuff like, you know, what's the best Baofeng radio for me to buy? You know, I'm looking at this and I got a buddy that's got this and that, and I just want your take. And what's your take on these three different types of radios? And can you give me a review of them? Okay, first of all, no, I can't. No longer can I do that kind of thing. I don't have the time. I want to, but I'm overcommitted already. And then you start letting people down, and that's just, I didn't even want to go there. So be a self-starter. Do the research. There's so much information on Amron.com about radio communications or basically any of this kind of stuff. I appreciate you guys' news and reports and stuff that you're sending to me. And I do answer a lot of, overwhelming majority of the emails. But occasionally, if you've slipped through the cracks, all right, just know I still love you guys. And sometimes it just helps to be reminded, hey, remember me last week? Wave your hands in front of me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I jump on it. All right, so good stuff. If you're listening on the go, a CD or something like that somebody gave you, remember, you can go to radiofreeredoubt.com. And you can listen to us, of course, for our communications side of the house, for prepper, patriot, partisan, redoubter communications. That's over at Amron.com. That's AMRRON. It stands for the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Heute Nacht. Okay. There was a Spokane Ham Fest that I made the trip over to Spokane to meet the associate pastor from Marble, Washington. You know, the ones that hosted the God and Country celebration this summer. Well, they're trying to get their comms up, and I've been helping them. I went over there and taught a class, and they're working on it. They're making progress, but this takes time. It takes money. It takes dedication and patience. So they're finally at the point where I met with them and helped them get a there was not a whole lot of choices for used HF, high frequency, you know, your shortwave, ham radios. But we did find a really great it's an ICOM 726, has 6 meters and then 160 through 10 meters, 100 watts out on the HF, $300 they had it listed for. And then they had a power supply sitting there for $40. And he said, what do you say? $250 for the whole thing. And they hem-hawed around and did their trading and scratching and looking at each other sideways and snorting. And finally, he walked away with it for $250. It was cool, man. So he's working toward getting his comms up. And we got him a tuner. These ham fests are really cool. There's a lot of ham fests coming up in October. That's why I'm telling you this. That's where the deals can be had, because you can get them off eBay and stuff like that. But man, when you got something you can put your hands on, take advantage of these. These are like a gun show for ham radio. Cables, the antennas you've been meaning to get, and all that kind of stuff. You can get it just for a fraction of the price. And the hams are very helpful people. You know, you can go over to one of the ARRL guys at the booth and say, man, I'm looking at this radio. Can you point me to someone who could look at this radio with me, because I don't know what I'm looking at? They're so helpful. You'll have two or three guys all standing around, you know, giving you advice, and it's not that big of a scary of a thing. It seems like it at first, but here's the thing: when you guys get your radios, take the initiative and master that radio. You own it, so take ownership of it. Don't expect people to spoon feed you. Don't be a baby. All right. There is YouTube. There's downloadable PDF files for the user's manual. There are forums that are talking about the radio that you just bought, troubleshooting it. You need to roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty and learn that on your own. Learn as much as you can on your own. Otherwise, other people become a crutch and you won't grow. You won't be proficient. And that's necessary for you to be a competent radio operator, because there's other radio operators that will need to be able to communicate with you. And there's other people that aren't radio operators that are depending on you to communicate. And so you get your comms up and don't require other people to spoon feed you. Take ownership of that piece of equipment. I don't care if all you've got is a scanner, master it. Okay. Let's see. There's a very cool thing coming up. Earlier, I played, this has been a long time coming, Sam Culper's Guerrilla America from Guerrilla America. He's the senior editor of Forward Observer magazine. This last week, they aired their very first podcast, episode 001. And I'm so excited for him. We're going to help him out by producing some audio files for the little bumpers and intros and stuff like that. He's just a wealth of great information. I know him personally, and he is, they didn't have to do this, but they put in a huge plug for Radio Free Redoubt. And I thought that was cool. And, I was humbled actually by that. But, besides that, I've always been a firm believer in Guerrilla America and Sam Culper. You know, I've been through his analysis and collection intelligence course. The guy's spot on his stuff. He just flat has it wired tight. He knows what he's doing, and you can learn so much from him about the intelligence process. Very overlooked, but very important in what we're doing. And that ties in with this segment here, which I'm talking about, which this segment is sponsored by Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, Katie Armor. And, hey, I didn't mention also that, that the last segment with Sharam Hadian, Amp 3 sponsored that. Amp 3 Medical, you know, austere medical and preparedness. They said, hey, we want to sponsor that. So, it was really cool for them to be able to do that. Helping to support the cost, the overhead costs of Radio Free Redoubt. Now, I don't want to go without mentioning those guys because they're worthy of supporting these Patriot owned businesses. These people work so hard. And they are entrepreneurs. And they're trying to invest in liberty and keeping the message going. They invest in other blogs and other people that are getting the word out that we're doing. So please try to support them. They're the ones that make these wheels turn because they're hard costs and they keep growing. Oh my gosh. The bigger we get, the more it costs to do this. So we're treading water. growing pains. Okay, I got off base. But check this out. Readfomag.com, or you could just Google it. Go to Forward Observer, or not Google, Bing, whatever you're going to use. Go to Forward Observer and look at their radio show. Listen to their first podcast. And we're going to start airing those every week in the pre-show. And tonight, in case you missed it and you just tuned in at the beginning here, I'm also going to be airing that after tonight's show in place of Delta 04's PostNet report. Because Delta 04 called me and she is not feeling well. She's under the weather. Her throat's trashed. So we had other partisans pick up the East Coast Tappern nets, you know, on HF radio. So they did those nets tonight without Delta 04. And she also was not able to produce the PostNet report from last week's net. So I'm going to put Sam Culper's Forward Observer Episode 1 podcast up tonight, right after the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And he's going to go far with this. He's off to a great start, and I think better than my first podcast. So I just want to support those guys. I really love what they do at Forward Observer. I think it's a really valuable tool. So they're really handling a lot of technical type of contributions to helping develop skills. Of course, Radio Free Redoubt, we're dealing with the propaganda side, you know, the public information and awareness and education and motivating and all that good stuff. So we're all playing our role. We all have a different role in this. So check them out. And that's at readfomag.com. Okay, finally, before we close, training opportunity coming up October. Okay, the ARRL is the Amateur Radio Relay League. They're kind of like the NRA of, you know, for radio operators. They're the advocacy organization. They work with the FCC, with the laws and legislation, and they really advocate for radio operators. We've gotten some extra frequencies that kind of got abandoned by the business side of radio because they're using radio less. They're trying to get more frequencies allocated to the ham world, and they do a lot of really good stuff. And ARRL also has a volunteer emergency radio operators segment of the organization called ARES, and that's Amateur Radio Emergency Service. And these guys are going to be practicing all over the United States on various weekends in various regions. They're going to be practicing what's called a SET, or a SET. That stands for Simulated Emergency Test, where they kind of do their own little AMRON. Their own little T-Rex exercise. We don't know what the scenario is going to be in the various different regions where they're doing this. This will usually start off with one county kind of leading it off, and then all the other surrounding counties dogpile on and say, yeah, me too. We're in on this too. So they're going to train. Okay, if you guys, and I know a lot of you guys are involved in ARES and RACES, so this is good practice for you guys to work with others and network. But most of you are not in these organizations. It's still a great opportunity for you to train. We've been placing a lot of emphasis lately on receiving, monitoring, collecting communications. So we call that the SIGINT, or comment effort, and that's signals intelligence and communications intelligence. That means you're not focused on transmitting, you're focused on collecting. You sit there with your radios all set up, tuned in. So what you need to do is practice monitoring, receiving, intercepting, and collecting radio traffic. And of course, Ares groups would be the target group for this collection effort. Now, hold on. When I say target, I don't mean military target. I mean, it's the group that you're focusing your efforts on. So go to the website, learn what the frequencies are that they're using. They'll usually announce on their website this SET, the SET coming up, Simulated Emergency Training. Write down the frequencies. Take notes of everything you can. That's called gathering intelligence. Okay, and then what you do is you monitor and you listen. The reason why is because, first of all, in a real-world emergency situation, it's those organizations that will largely be working with government and non-government organizations in the relief, disaster relief effort, and relief and recovery, search and rescue, and things like that. That will be a valuable source for you as radio operators or people that are monitoring to know where the food supply points are going to be, to know where they're going to be distributing clean bottled water, blankets, where the relief shelters might be that you can direct people to, what roads are being closed off, what communications are up and what are not working around your area. It's for your situational awareness. Okay, so this is why we want you to plan on doing this. Once you develop these skills, they can be applied toward any number of things in the future. If we're invaded by a foreign military, for example, well, you've got some radio monitoring signals intelligence skills under your belt that could be useful for informing people of what's going on, and you'll know yourself what's going on. So October is a big month for these exercises, and if you're not directly involved as an Aries member participating in these, then you can still use this as a monitoring or radio collection exercise. So learn to use those scanners. Learn to use those shortwave radios. Learn to search for radio traffic on a frequency and then look around on adjacent frequencies. And start putting together a log. Make it an adventure for yourself so it's fun. You can pretend that this is, an occupying force or something like that, that you're monitoring their radio traffic so you can pass it to the underground. And make it fun. Make it a fun exercise and make up your own little scenario in your head and practice these skills because they'll be very valuable in the future. As important, if not more important, than learning how to talk back and forth to each other on radios. There's plenty of people that know how to do that. We need more listeners out there. We need more intel, SIG INT and COM INT collectors out there so that we can all be informed and then share that with each other. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. This has been fun. There's next week. We've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm lining up several interviews. Some things that I've been trying to line up for the last couple of weeks, and the schedule has been made that very challenging. So I am going to be overcoming some of those challenges. There's some people that I want to speak with and share with you some things, and I think that you'll enjoy it and you'll benefit from it. So I'm going to start working on that. I've got lots of things to get all hammered out here and stuff to get ready for the Going Rogue conference in Dallas in November. So lots of things happening. It's exciting to be right in the middle of it all. And I thank you guys all for your support. And I really thank you for you, those of you who have chosen to support us financially just by $5 or $10 a month. It is I'm more grateful than I can even say. And then I'm especially grateful for the prayers of support from you guys out there. And I thank you all. It's just an amazing, wonderful group of people to be in this, to end this fight for liberty with. And what more can I say? I love what I do. I'm just such a blessing. And I hope that what we're doing is a blessing for you guys. And if it is a blessing for you, then please help support us. We much appreciate it. And you guys have a great week this week. Work on getting your comms up. Get yourselves trained. Get yourselves prepared spiritually, physically, tactically, logistically, And just also enjoy yourselves, enjoy life, okay? Enjoy what freedoms we still have. Try to inform others who will listen. Tell your like-minded friends about Radio Free Redoubt, and we appreciate you guys spreading the word. Okay, I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this wraps up episode 1438. You've been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. One more time, and until then, good night.